Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Hello and welcome. This is episode 305 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. I'm Sean Penrod, your host. So happy you're joining us today. We have a great guest lined up for you today. But before we dive into that, just a few housekeeping things. First of all, thank you so much to Paragon City Games for supporting the show. They provide the prize support not only for the monthly giveaway that is for patrons only, but also for the Seal League that we do once a set, which is just wrapping up this week. We had the top 8 playoff of the Seal League. So the M19 Seal League is coming to a close, and it was a blast, and I definitely look forward to having you join us in the next one. So stay tuned for when that one goes up. And also, of course, a huge thank you to the patrons. Thank you so much for your direct support of the show. I absolutely appreciate all that you do for the show and for keeping it going. It would not have lasted this long without you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, last weekend was the pre-release for Guilds of Ravnica, and I had a blast going out and I played with my brother in a two-headed giant event. It was a lot of fun. I did Selesnya, he did Boros, and we were able to put together a pretty sweet, you know, combo where he was really aggressive and putting down creatures early and attacking using Mentor, which I think is a really good mechanic. I like Mentor a lot. And then I was kind of the support on the side, and my stuff took a little longer to get out because of Convoke and they were bigger, but it kind of helped close out the mid and late game. So it was really, really good. I thought we went 3-1. We lost our very first game to some, blue control deck. I mean, come on, blue. No, of course, that's Magic. They were bouncing stuff and canceling and, countering stuff. And so that's just life, I suppose. No big deal. And we won all of our games after that. So that was a lot of fun. Anyways, so I think Guilds is pretty cool. Like I said, I really like Mentor. Convoke, it's like classic, right? That's like classic Selesnya. So I didn't get any like eye-opening experiences with Selesnya. It was just, hey, cool, it's, Convoke. So I am looking forward to playing with some of the other mechanics for sure. I know a lot of people really dug Surveil, especially Surveil plus Undergrowth. They say that that's a really good combo, obviously, because you can load up your graveyard and then Undergrowth just gets things super big. So that might be something to look into for sure. Anyways, so I'm excited that this new set's coming out. I'm interested to see what impact it has on constructed sets. We shall see for sure. So, definitely if you're in Limited and have any kind of Boros slanting deck, you definitely want to have that Aurelia. If you see Aurelia, she is bonkers. That card's nuts. So we didn't have one, but when we saw how she played out, she's insane. So anyways, a lot of cool stuff, a lot of fun stuff going on this weekend. Of course, we have GP Mexico City and GP Montreal. So good luck to any prodigies who are headed out there. And of course, if you make top 8, let me know. We'll have you here on the show. No problem. That's the whole goal, right? Is to get you to the top 8 of a Grand Prix so you can get onto the Pro Tour. That's what I've been wanting to do since the beginning, is really get listeners of this show onto the Pro Tour. So that's why we bring on the guests that we do, because they're doing what we want to. They're doing well in Magic. They qualify. They're on their way. And so we're trying to bridge the gap between where we are and where they are. So that said, like I mentioned, we have a great guest lined up, as we always do, and I cannot wait to introduce you to him. So without further ado, let's bring him in, sit down, and talk about Magic. What's up, everybody? I'm super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest has been playing since 2006 and has been competitive since 2013. Pro Tour Atlanta will be his fourth Pro Tour. His best result was making top 4 at GP Lille 2014 playing Legacy. For him, the best thing about Magic the Gathering is traveling around the world and meeting so many awesome people. Coming to us from Madrid, Spain, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Ricardo Sanchez. Ricardo, how are you doing today?
Hey, good. Thank you for coming here.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take the game to the next level?
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Sweet. Now, prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Ricardo, you can find him on Twitter @MRitchie_. That's where you can find him. Look him up. Say thanks for being on the show. Ask him a question. But that is how you can connect with Ricardo. So, Ricardo, we would love to learn a little bit about you outside of Magic before we do the whole Magic thing. So you're out there in Madrid, Spain. Are you born and raised in Madrid?
Yeah, I was born here 24 years ago. Here I am. I'm studying marketing at university. I'm working in a media company. and trying to find free time to play Magic when I can.
Love it. Okay, so you're a student doing marketing and also working. Man, student, working, Magic, very full life.
Yeah, indeed.
Fun, very, very fun. So growing up, did you play other competitive either sports or games, or was Magic kind of your first thing?
Yeah, Magic was my first thing. I started, like, I was like 12 years old. I started with my brother.
Yeah?
They were studying at libraries, like this scene, like weekly scene that they give you like a booster and 15 cards. So that's how we got in the game with my brother.
Very nice. So you're 12 years old. You just stumbled across it with your brother, just walking down the street and you saw it, or did somebody introduce you to the game?
No, we saw it. We thought it was cool, like, for the pictures and everything.
Wow.
Then we buy it, and then people in school is playing, and then ever since I'm playing.
Very cool. So you didn't even play football when you were a kid?
I was in a handball team for a while.
Oh, nice. Okay.
12
team. Okay, very cool. So you had some kind of sport. You did do some kind of competitive stuff, huh?
Yeah, no, it was just for fun after school.
Yeah.
Some matches on the weekend, but not really serious.
Cool. All right, so 12 years old, you stumble across Magic, almost quite literally, and then you come on in, you start playing. What was your first set?
I think the first time I went to a store to buy cards, they just released the Ascension, and my first pre-release was a few months later with Time Spiral.
Time Spiral. So which do you consider to be your first set?
I would say Time Spiral.
Time Spiral, yeah, that was a fun set. I mean, was that kind of confusing to come in on, or were you were too ignorant to know?
Really. Not really. I mean, we didn't know a lot, so they were like cards with pictures mostly.
Got it. So you're like, oh yeah, a black Wrath of God, like a black Destroy Everything. That's totally normal.
Yeah, we didn't think about it. Yeah. It was actually funny in the Future Sight pre-release a few months later. My brother and I had like 2 or 3 Tamagotchis at the time.
What?
But we were like, oh, this is our old one. This cannot be good. I would trade them away.
Oh, man, that's funny. That's so funny. Oh, man, just imagine coming in at that time and be like, oh, yeah, green draw card. That's totally what's supposed to happen. So that's funny. I guess that's fun. So since you've been playing Magic, what would you say has been your favorite set?
I really like Shadow Sovereign set. It was like really fun with all the crew team and everything like that.
Nice. Shadows over Innistrad. That was a good one. And what is one of your favorite cards?
Tireless Tracker. Definitely.
Tireless Tracker? Oh, nice. So, for those of us who don't know, what is that card? What does it do? And why do you like it?
Well, for starters, it's a 3-2 for 3 mana, which is a nice body. But then, every time you play a land, you make a clue. A clue is an artifact that if you pay 2 mana, you sacrifice it to draw a card. And then, Tireless Tracker gets a +1/+1 counter.
Every time you sacrifice a clue? Yeah.
So basically, you play land, draw cards, make your creature bigger, play more land, make it bigger.
Yeah. Such a good card. So fun. Tireless Tracker. That is a good one. That's so fun. We love kind of learning about how you came into the game and what some of your favorites are, so we can connect with you and be like, oh yeah, that's my favorite too, or that's a cool card or whatever. And so that's really neat to kind of hear your origins and kind of your beginnings in Magic. And so we mentioned that you started getting competitive around 2013. So when that time came, when you started getting more competitive, what did you struggle with? What was an early challenge that you faced?
Well, I will say traveling to events, because that year is when I turned 18, and I was able to convince my mother to let me travel, like, not even outside Madrid, but, like, around Europe to go to a GP or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, my first issue. But at the beginning, she didn't want to let me go, but then she started to meet my friends to understand that this was something good for me. I get to travel, I get to meet people, I get to work on my brain. Let's say.
Yeah.
It was another funny thing that I think it was like really important for me to understand. Like, I was going to the store and I was maybe winning like every FNM, something like that. And then you go out to the real world to play a PTQ or to play a GP and you are like 0-3 drop and you are like, why? I cannot lose. I win every Friday Night Magic.
Yeah. Oh man, this is quite the eye opener then.
Yeah, totally.
That's fun. So you mentioned, you know, traveling and getting out to events was a challenge that you faced because your mom was kind of hesitant to kind of let you go out and you know, do that. And then you met, said something very interesting. She met your friends and started to see how magic could be good for you, stuff like that. How much influence, how important was it, your magic friends, that was able to get you out and be able to do things?
Not super important, but she wanted to know with who I was traveling. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm like 18, I tell her, yeah, I'm traveling with 20-somethings or 30-somethings, you don't know. And she's like, okay, I want to meet them before mm-hmm. I'll let you go anywhere.
That's cool. And they didn't blow it, huh? That was good. So they gave a good impression for your mom. So that's nice.
Yeah, they're good friends, for sure.
Cool. Awesome. So, and then she realized, like you said, you get to travel, you get to meet new people, you get to work on your brain, like you said, so you kind of get to, you know, practice critical thinking, exercise, and then, you know, you're obviously with, you know, other people, so it's not like you're just going off into Europe all by yourself. And so you started to travel little by little. And then you touched on something that's very important, which is as you expanded your influence or your sphere of influence, started playing in different areas, you're like, man, you know, I was the big fish in the small pond over there crushing F&M, and now I'm not doing so hot. So what was that like? And what did you do to kind of move past that?
Well, just keep playing a lot of magic online, started talking with good players, and just working on it. Like playing.
Play a lot, get those reps in, and then talk with good players. Where did you find these people to talk to?
Well, at first, like people I knew from my store, like talking with the good ones. Mm-hmm. Not like only the good ones, because I think you can learn from anyone, but trying to hang out with the better players and stuff like that. And then at my first pro tour, I was with some Spanish friends, including Javier Dominguez, and we're walking out of the event after day one, and I finished 7-1. It was my first and best day one. And Javier was 6-2. My roommate was also 6-2, something like that. And Javier goes, oh, the only one that didn't screw out of the tournament was Ricardo that went 7-1. I'm like, what? Everybody, like, we are all doing good, and you are like, oh, everybody's doing bad. I'm like, wow. And then the day after, we all got crushed, and I'm like, Okay, now I understand what you meant yesterday.
Nice. So that was your first pro tour. When was that?
Atlanta in 2014.
In Atlanta, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, now you're coming back to Atlanta. That's fun.
Exactly, yeah.
Ah, very cool. So how did you get onto that first pro tour?
I won a PTQ. Okay. A standard PTQ with Boros. Boros Nictos.
Very cool. Okay, very cool. And then how did you qualify for your second, third, and fourth Pro Tour?
So my second was making top four in Lille, in Legacy, mm-hmm. which was like pretty much the first time I played Legacy in my life.
Nice.
But I just grabbed Infect because I thought like, hey, I don't know a lot about Legacy, but I know a little bit how to play Magic. So I'm going to play a deck that I don't need to interact a lot with people. I mean, I have Forces Wheel and some Binds of Basketball, but I don't need to interact a lot. And I will try to do my best.
Yeah.
15 rounds later, I missed my flight, but I made the bait. And then my third one was winning an online PTQ with Barracud. And then my last one was winning an RPTQ a couple months ago.
Very nice. Good stuff, man. Look at you go. That's so cool. You did PTQs, top eight of a Grand Prix, an online PTQ. Like, that's really cool that you have kind of qualified through so many different routes.
Yeah.
And different formats too, right? Legacy and Standard and...
Yeah, it's been Legacy, Standard, Modern, and Standard again.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so you know Constructed pretty well then, huh?
Yeah. I like Constructed too much.
Yeah,
I wish I like limited more, so I will play more, get better, play more, get better. But it's really hard for me to sit down and say, hey, let's fire a draft or something like that. I really struggle to do that.
Well, we want to dive deep on some of your successes for sure. But before we do, let's go through your journey, because every journey has ups and downs. And we would love to focus in on two moments, the first one being your worst Magic moment. So take us to a time and tell us a story of your worst Magic moment. What happened and what did you learn?
I don't think I have something like a worst moment, but the moment I liked the least, it was at the beginning when I was starting to travel to GPs. I thought, hey, I'm winning everything on the store. I cannot do some GPs. And then I went in a year to like 9 GPs, something like that, and I didn't make day 2 in any one of them. Hmm. I was losing for day 2. I was going 0-3, but I wasn't even close to make it.
That must have been really rough. So you went to 9 GPs in a year and didn't make day 2 a single one.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow. So what did you learn from that? So looking back, you know, obviously that was tough, but you made it through and you're doing well now. So what did you take away that you can share with us?
Probably 2 things. That I know that as good as I thought that I was, and I needed to get better if I wanted to compete outside my area. And that I don't need to travel I don't need to go to every event if I don't feel like going.
Okay.
I also had this problem a few times over my career, if you can call it that. Like, I book a travel for a GP, and then like the week coming to that tournament, I'm like, oh, I don't really want to go. I don't really want to play this format or something like that. And then I go, I don't do well. I have a really good time. And I come back home on Monday, like, thinking, why did I even go to the event?
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go to every single event. And by experience, you've learned that after the fact, it's just hollow and not much fun that you made yourself go when you didn't want to in the first place. So that's, I think that's really important to know, is that, hey, if you're a serious Magic player, you don't have to go to every event. Just because you don't go doesn't mean you're not serious. You know, like, you can still be serious and still have, you know, fun and compete and not have to travel every single weekend to every single event.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So then you just kept at it. So what kept you going? You know, you're like, you're not making day 2, but you're still going. And obviously now you're on the show. So you're doing really well. That's cool. So what kept you going through that beginning stages, that hard time?
Well, basically that the game is so, so, so good. Hmm. I think we can all agree on that. And my friends, like, hey, let's keep going. And I try to not go to so many tournaments so I don't get bored.
Cool. Very, very cool. Now, the flip side are obviously our highs. So what has been your proudest Magic moment to date?
Well, I think I would say my, like, as a one thing, I would say the top 4 at the AGP. But I also was part of a content creators team, you can call that. We're based in Spain and we're doing articles, streamings and stuff like that. I was part of them for like 3 years and I had a really good time with them. I learned a lot. I gave a lot back to the community. That was great, yeah.
And that was with who?
With a team of content creators from Spain. We were called So and Tell MTG.
Very cool.
In like weekly streams, a lot of articles.
That's really cool. What was that? How did that help you? How did creating content, you know, writing articles and interacting with the community, how did that help you as a Magic player?
Well, basically, I was spending a lot of time with many talented players, mm-hmm. where all day speaking about Magic, preparing for tournaments, helping each other to create an article, or like we did like live shows, like instead of streaming Magic Online, we stream live from a store that gave us their space. So we're playing a lot and talking a lot of Magic. Like, breathing Magic, I think it's the best way to get better also. Just play Magic all the time.
So playing Magic, writing about Magic, talking about Magic.
Yeah.
Very cool. Awesome. So, yeah, so your ups and downs, you shared some of your worst and some of your proudest moments and what that has meant for you. And that's really neat. And so let's focus in on a recent, you know, success that, you know, you're off, you're headed off to your fourth pro tour, which is really cool. Let's dive into how you prepare for events and all that stuff. So, you've done legacy and standard and modern. I guess I'll leave it up to you. Let's pick one of those formats. Which format do you feel is your best or that you're most familiar with?
I would say modern.
Modern.
I enjoyed the most.
Okay.
I enjoyed the most. Like, when I don't know what to play, I just try my magical line and play modern. I like playing basically any deck from modern. You can see me playing blue-white control, burn. I have some success with the storm, also escape. So, basically, I could be playing anything in modern and have a good time.
Great. Excellent. So because you're so versatile, this will be a really good conversation. Let's say that a modern event is coming, a modern Grand Prix or whatever. So a big deal. How would you choose which modern deck to play? What's the research that you do and how do you decide what deck you're going to show up to this tournament with in modern?
Well, I will take a look to the meta game. For example, I would use MTG Goldfish, something like that, to get like a snapshot of what people is playing. And then I will think, okay, this and this deck may be well suited for the meta game. And then I will take one I like the most and play a few games online and say, okay, this is good, this is not so good. If it's not good, I will choose a different deck. If I feel like it's good, I will just keep playing with it, like tuning the deck list or the sideboard or something like that. But basically, take a model they can like, and if it's good, play with it a lot until I find like the final 75.
Okay. So, MTG Goldfish, great place to start. Take a look at what decks are doing well. And then, how do you even make that first selection? Like, what are you looking for in those top decks to kind of give you an idea of what you should be playing? Do you just play the top deck because it's winning, or do you kind of angle against it? Like, what are you actually looking for when you're going through MTG Goldfish?
Well, you take for example, you can open the last Modern Challenge or an online PTQ and take a look what people is playing. Like, not what decks, but like, for example, let's say you like playing Storm or KCI, and you start looking through the sideboards and everyone is playing Spheres or Surgical Extraction, you are like, oh, I cannot play this deck because everybody will be ready for it. Hmm. So maybe I can go under then and I can play Boon. Or, oh no, everybody is playing blue-white with three timely reinforcement, so maybe I can go bigger, or maybe I can combo them out.
Okay.
Just try to attack from what people is not prepared.
And so you said that you practice with a couple of decks to kind of see which one jives with you, which one is actually doing well against the decks that are being played. Is this in paper or is this on Magic Online that you're doing this practicing?
Magic Online mostly.
Okay.
I think it's like much more efficient than gathering in real life.
Okay. And how do you have the collection to do Magic Online? Because if it's a paper, you can just kind of proxy it up, play with friends. But obviously, you know, the competitive talent that you're up against is much smaller when you're doing it in paper than if you do online. So online, you get, you know, I think more hardcore play sessions, but then you have to worry about the library. So how do you actually get all the cards to build these decks just to practice?
Well, I used to try to have a collection online, but I found it really expensive. And I found a service that lets you rent cards. Like, you trade their bot, and they give you the card you want. So it's like, I think like $60, you can play all the modern and legacy you want.
Which service? What's it called?
It's called manatraders.com.
Yeah, we've heard about them on the show before. So manatraders.com. That's great. So that's a really good resource because a lot of people, you know, they want to practice for events. They want to, you know, do it online because they know that the competition is stiff there and gives them really good training. But they kind of struggle with that, you know, with that part, the card pool part. So being able to rent the cards, I think that's a great, great way to go about it. And so then you'll find a deck that you like. And then if you're headed off to a paper tournament, then you just invest your money in buying those paper cards. And then that's kind of how you go about it.
Well, I have a few more that cards, but
right.
Normally I'm able to borrow.
Oh, borrow. That's good too.
And so, yeah.
Very fun. Excellent. Okay, so you look at what's going on. You pick a couple decks based on what's doing well and what you think will, you know, do well against them. You practice with a couple of those, find the one that works for you and that is also well positioned, and then you'd say, okay, that's it. This is the one that I'm going to take. And then once you've picked your deck, do you just, how many, I guess, leagues or like how much do you practice with it before your event? Do you try and get a certain number in or just kind of whatever? What's your approach?
I don't have an exact number. Like, it's Modern. Like,
yeah.
If you play Modern all the time, you will be used to sideboard cards, to certain situations.
Yeah.
So it's like the game 500 and the game 700 is not going to be really different.
Like,
for example, Modern with the Stone, I played so many games. So if I were to play a tournament tomorrow, I don't need to, hey, if I'm casting gifts, I'm giving here what I'm getting. But I need to know what people is trying to do against me.
Yeah. And then you also mentioned, once you've kind of picked your deck, going through that refinement process of picking your sideboard, your exact 75, what does that look like? Because obviously, you know, Modern is a little more stable than other formats, but you still have those minor tweaks that you do, you know, for your sideboard from tournament to tournament. How do you go about deciding that process? What is your sideboard approach?
Well, mostly just saying what people is doing to try to win, to beat you, and try to adapt to that. Or maybe some new technology comes out and you are like, hey, I'm going to try this in the sideboard. But it's mostly thinking like, hey, what people is doing and who I'm beating, what they are doing.
Okay, very cool. Man, I love it. I love diving into the process and learning and growing and seeing what it is that that you do. So very cool. All right, so when you're, obviously you've been to many events all over the world, in Europe and America, and you've played against tons of different people. As you've sat across a table from players, what has been the biggest mistake that you see players make?
Probably nothing. Like, many people say keep, and then they think what they are going to do. But I think it's really, really important before you even say that you're keeping the hand, think what's your plan. For example, in Modern, it's I see, like, really often people are keeping their hand and then thinking what they're going to do, what they're going to do on turn one. And it's like, okay, the hand is good, but you should really consider what is your plan for the game, not after the keep, but before.
I love that. So before you even say keep, you should have a plan of how you're going to, what, play out your hand or how you're going to approach the entire game?
Well, at least play out your hand. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, if you're playing Modern and you're playing other good fetch lands and one mana spells, you need to think what you're fetching on turn one. But you so often see people like, hey, I will fetch and then I will think what I want to do.
I love that. So think about what you're going to do. Have a plan. And then, yeah. And especially if it's game two and you know what they're playing, then you should have some idea, right? A little further out than just your hand. It's like, okay, well, here's what I'm going to play out. Here's, you know, with fetches, here's what I'm going to fetch. You know, here's what I'm hoping to draw into. Is that reasonable? So stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. Love it. Love it. So one of the things I love about Magic is that it really gives us insights into many other aspects of life. So turning it back to you, what is something that you've learned from Magic that you've been able to apply to other areas of your life, Ricardo?
Well, I would say, like, booking travel. I consider myself good, like, finding flights and hotels for my friends and everything. I'm like the person, every time a friend of mine has a problem with the flight or trying to find a trip or something, they ask me because they know I enjoy it, and I do it more or less well. So they always come to me for that, for example.
Love it. So how to travel. I love how, yeah, just practical things. You know, we can learn so many, even just practical things from our interaction with Magic. And in this case, learning how to travel, like, you know, all those ins and outs and dealing with airlines and tickets and all that stuff. You obviously have a lot of experience doing that. And so much so that friends call you for help. And that's really cool. It's just kind of a very practical life skill that you picked up through your experience with playing Magic. That's cool. That's really cool. Sweet. So we talked about how you are going to be heading off to your fourth Pro Tour here in GP Atlanta coming up soon. How are you going to be preparing for that? What's your plan?
So I gathered with like 9 or 10 fellow Spaniards. We are this time like 15 or 20 Spaniards. I think it's a Pro Tour with most Spaniards. Also, all of them have prior Pro Tour experience, which I think is the first time it happened.
Nice.
So we'll be playing together, sharing magical line deck, list, draft, Skyping and making drafts.
Mm-hmm. That is so cool. I love, because that is a testament to the growth of Magic. Because like you just said, oh, this is the most Spaniards at a Pro Tour. And everybody has past Pro Tour experience. And that just shows that, you know, Magic is growing and that countries all over the world, like Spain, are players are coming and they're coming back, right? And so that's so cool to hear that there's so many of you guys going and you're able to connect and play and help each other out. And that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, totally. We're a good group. I think I like my group, yeah.
Oh, good. That helps, you know, that definitely helps. So how many pro points do you have this season so far?
This season, like, I think this last season with 9, going sort of bronze. It also happened to me last year, I was 9, won sort of bronze again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And now, I believe, like, after the next rotation, I will have 6, but I'm getting 3 from the Pro Tour. And then... I will have 8 after the Pro Tour, I think.
Okay, cool. So what are your plans on getting those last 2 points, at least to make it to bronze and beyond?
I'm not playing that many events for the rest of the year because I cannot take days off from work.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a bit hard for me, but I'm going to GP Liverpool at the end of the year, which is Modern Trios. And then probably I will go to GP Prague and GP Bilbao at the beginning of next year.
Yeah, very cool.
We'll see.
Fun, very fun. So you have a few events lined up, which is great. And obviously you're a pro traveler, so we're not too worried about that. And you have some friends that you get to play with, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So as you... keep your finger on the pulse of Magic. You know, what resources do you turn to? You mentioned that you look at MTG Goldfish for your top decks. You mentioned that you use manatraders.com for your card pool so you can practice. Are there any other resources that you use that you can recommend?
I try to read a lot of articles, like starting from the big ones like Channel Fireball or Star City Games.
Right.
But then there are smaller ways that they are not that well known in America probably, but they have so many great players writing for them. So, for example, today Javier posted his report of Worlds. There is always quality content from the Asia Pacific players in MTG Main Card. Mm-hmm. Also, I think those 4. But every now and then you see an article from BBD or Seth Manfield on TCG player. But yeah, I mostly read everything from pro players.
Cool. Very cool. And now, has there been a book that you've read? Obviously not a Magic-related book because there's like none out there. But has there been a book that you've read that has influenced your thoughts or your approach to Magic?
I think so, yeah. I read a book like 5 years ago, something like that. It was called... Playing to Win by, I don't remember his name, but his surname is Sirling. And this guy is a professional Street Fighter player.
Oh, yeah.
And he has played so many games. So he talks about many, many things about gaming in general, but he applies them to like Street Fighter video games, to chess, to even to Magic. He talks about many games. And yeah, it was a nice way to see the game. Like, sometimes you need to put yourself, like, in the best position to win. He talks about this classic example of if you are playing a blue deck and you go Iceland, your opponent may or not believe that you have a counterspell in your hand, for example.
Right. That's good. Playing to Win. I've actually heard about that book, but I haven't read it myself. So I'm going to have to get on that, because that sounds like, I remember listening to a podcast where they talked about game theory and stuff like that. And they brought it up. And so I'm going to have to take a look at that for sure. So good stuff. And Prodigies, if you want to check that out, we'll have a link to it in the show notes for sure. So good stuff. Well, sweet. Ricardo, we've, you know, loved learning from you and about you and what you have going on. Prodigies, if you want to connect with Ricardo, you can find him on Twitter at @MRitchie with an I. Underscore. So that's @MRitchie_. Check him out. Say thanks for being on the show. Ask him questions. But Twitter is the best place to find him. So, Ricardo, as we close things out, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? It can be something that you already said that you want to emphasize, or it could be something new that you want to leave with us here at the end.
I would say enjoy playing Magic. Enjoy the process of preparing for an event, going to the event, hanging out with your friends in the event, like the after tournament. But no matter what you do, just enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, it's going to be really, really hard for you to win, to keep wanting to come back to the game. Because at the end of the day, this is a game. We play for fun. And if we are not having fun, what is the point of playing?
Love it. Ricardo, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to Multiverse. And I want to thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today and share your experiences and what you've learned along the way. You're a hero among planeswalkers. It's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Thank you.
There you have it. Episode 305 is all wrapped up. Ricardo, thank you again for being a guest here on the show. Prodigies, of course, you can get the show notes at mtgpro2.com/Ricardo Sanchez. And that's where you'll find a synopsis of what we talked about and links to any resources that were mentioned for sure. So as we close things out, I want to say thank you again to the patrons of the show. You make the world go round for me, really. Like, this show would not happen without you. So thank you. And of course, we do our monthly giveaway. And now here we are at the beginning of October. So we'll be announcing the winner for September here in the next episode. So stay tuned for that. If you are a patron, you might win the monthly giveaway. So yeah, stay tuned. And of course, if you're not a patron and you want to be one and you want to be considered for these cool giveaways, then go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon and know that anybody at the Bed of Plants level or higher will be considered for our monthly giveaway. So thank you, patrons, again. And of course, those giveaways are provided by Paragon City Games. So check out ParagonCityGames.com. And they're the ones that provide the prize support for the giveaway as well as for a sealed league. And the reason why we teamed up is because Paragon City Games is awesome. Their values are very much in line with MTG Pro Tutor. They believe in community. They believe in respect. And they have a really good store out here and a really good online presence. And so check out ParagonCityGames.com for sure. So thank you again for joining me today. Good luck if you're headed off to the Grand Prix, either in Mexico City or in Montreal. And yeah, have a blast. I can't wait to connect with you again next week. And until then, I'm Sean of the Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.